Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
I want to take a brief amount of time today and talk to you about how going to church changed my life. And I just want to take just a little bit of time this morning and talk to you about that. You know, when I found and met the pastor that God would use to change my life, I was in a really, really not a good place as far as my relationship with God would go. I was far from God. I had given my heart to Christ as a teenager, but let's just say I wasn't living that way anymore. I was living extremely immorally. I was smoking things that were not designed to just start forest fires or so. Okay, I was smoking a lot of weed, and I was just kind of aimless, and really just that's what I was doing a lot, and I was living extremely immorally. And first time I met him, I'm kind of ashamed of this, but it's what happened. My mom made the arrangement she invited all my brothers and us to go to their Sunday school picnic thing, and I've shared it before, but the reality of it is that, you know, if you're in college and mama says, y'all want to go to the Sunday school picnic? How many of you know that's normally not, you know, like, oh, yes, I want to go there. Particularly the way I was living. But then she told me who was there and what they were cooking. So, of course, having five sons, that kind of food, we went to eat. So my mom arranged for me to meet the pastor. And you know how moms do. She kind of set it up like where I'd be alone with him. Because you moms know that your kids know what you're doing, right? And what I did, I'm not proud of, but I didn't yell at him, but I thought, you know what? I'm going to put an end to this. And I just told him every vile, immoral thing I was doing. Oh, I mean, I just emptied it. And I told him I had no intention of stopping it. And just, he didn't ask for that. All he said was hello, and I just lit into him. But he did something that astounded me. I was waiting to see his face kind of turn sour against me and for him to then, as a pastor, to come back and tell me why everything I told him was wrong. And he didn't do any of that. In fact, you know, I'm not really good with details. That's not an understatement. Believe me, that's the truth. There are very few things that I have indelible in my mind. The look on his face is one of them. As I was waiting for his face to respond to what I was saying, all I could see was a compassion. And I didn't quite get it. And then finally, when I stopped my tirade, he basically said this. He said, John, you just have no idea how much God loves you. None. And he shook my hand. He said, but it's so nice to meet you. And he walked away. He just completely ruined what I wanted to do. And this guy, his name's Bill Anzavino. He pastored a church. He started pastoring at 28 years old. And he went to this little church that just had a handful of people in it. It existed for years, but it was just a small little church of people that loved God, but wanted God to do something great. And by the way, it was, if you were to classify it, it would be called like an Italian Assemblies Church. You don't care, but that made me feel special. But anyway, and these wonderful people opened their arms and opened their lives to me and to my family. And church changed my life. That's why when you come here, I don't want you to come here trying to think like you're punching a religious ticket. My prayer today is that you come to church today and it changes your life. Because you see, I don't know why this is, and maybe there's some reasons. If I went into therapy, maybe somebody could figure this out. But I've never, you know, and I've read a lot and interacted with a lot of people. I can't really tell you the nuts and bolts behind why this was. Sometimes things in people's lives, you can connect the dots pretty easily. But for whatever reason, I never felt like I would be able to do anything well in my life. I always felt like if I went into it, and that's probably why I was getting high all the time. I just escaped. I don't know why. I would go into an environment that required some kind of capacity, and I would always feel like I just could never have enough. I remember as a teenager, and this is no one's fault. It's just things just, chains get on our hearts in life. I remember seeing a guy with this kind of, you know, pretty wife and two or three kids. And I remember thinking, I can never have that. I don't know why I thought that way. But I saw my future without hope. And it wasn't just without hope, without God. It's just like, I wonder how I'll even be able to scratch out a living. I don't, you know, what am I going to do? And so that's kind of how I saw myself. And maybe you're like me. Maybe you're choosing, like I was, to kind of take all that stuff and cover it with a lot of nonsense. Or maybe you're like me, that you just feel so inadequate. And you just feel like, man, what is... But I remember by going to this church, and see, the pastor, when he said to me, "You have no idea how much God loves you. I wouldn't use these words today, but back then, here's what I said. Those words haunt me, because I was living as immorally as I could. Look, I came to one point, I told my mother, because she was trying to share stuff with me about Jesus, you know. Finally, I said, "Mom, listen, I don't ever want to hear the name of Jesus again. Just leave me alone." See, Mom and Dad, maybe your kids, maybe your someone you love, husband, whomever, wife, is telling you stuff like that, and it's breaking your heart. They don't mean it. See, yeah, they really do. No, they don't. I've been there. You don't mean it. You just are hurt. Something you can't even put your finger on it. But I just want to. I just leave me alone. In fact, that's how I prayed when I did. God, just leave me alone. Because in my religious mindset, if God was going to show up in my life, he was coming to kill me. Why not? Look how I was living. Surely if God was going to show up in my life, buddy, he was coming to get even. And I know I'm not the brightest guy, but I know this. Me and God, I ain't winning that battle. So I ran from it. I'll never forget the day when I sat in church. And you have to understand, I knew nothing about the Bible. I thought Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were four brothers. There was an old lady in our neighborhood, Mrs. Cox, and when there were just four sons before baby Jesus was born, the one was born out of due season, the ones my parents loved, they gave him a coat of many colors. It was special, and the other four of us are in therapy, but it's okay. We're not bitter. No. She couldn't remember our names, so she called us Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So I thought those had to be brothers, right? I knew something, they were in the Bible somewhere, something about God. I didn't really know. I take that back. I knew nothing about they were in the Bible, but I figured it had something to do with God. So when I began to, you know, the Gospel of Matthew, I said, one of those four brothers. Gospel of Matthew. I knew nothing. I remember when I started going to church, I was just looking through a Bible of the church before the service started, and I was sitting by a guy that my parents helped raise and kind of took him into our family. He had given his life to Christ. This church had a revival in it. So many young people came to Christ. And these people, and a lot of them were older. I mean, talking like grandparents' age. They just threw open their hearts and the doors of that church to people like my whole family came to Christ because of that church and because of that pastor. And man, I'm sitting there and I'm looking through and I'm reading in the book of Timothy. I don't know what that means. And it says, Paul wrote it, and he said, my son, Timothy. So I was sitting beside the guy, and his name's Jerome, and I was sitting beside Jerome, and just a few months before that, Jerome was getting drunk every night in bars, and he gave his life to Jesus. He went back to the same bars trying to witness to his friends, and they physically threw him out. But I remember, I said, Jerome, look, that Paul guy had a kid named Timothy. And the guy in front of me, he's now the administrator of that church, he turned around so kindly and he said, that's his son in the faith. Now, I had no idea what that meant. He said, were you a little embarrassed? I don't have much of an embarrassment gene. No, because he didn't do it like, well, he just was really kind about it. And this church began to take in people and people that didn't know God from a goose and began to wrap their arms around them because, can I help you understand this? You're not going to be able to just get the grace of God from him. God puts his grace in people. And I'll never forget when I sat in that service that day and he quoted, I'm just going to take you the portion out of John 16 that he quoted. And he used to preach. I mean, he still is. He's a great Bible teacher. And my foundation to this day, he built. In fact, if you've been blessed through this church, it's due to this church and this pastor. We stand on their shoulders. And many of those people that were there in the beginning, most all of them are in heaven. And they made such a difference. But I was sitting in the service, and if I could hear it physically, it would have sounded like a deafening sound of chains falling off my life. And he quoted the scripture where Jesus said, the Father himself loves you. He went on to quote a scripture that talked about the Father loving us as much as he loves Jesus. But that first scripture he quoted, it seemed like the room stopped. See, when you come to church, it's not some message some guy's going to say or some lady's going to say. Yeah, human beings talk, but the Holy Spirit is the teacher. He takes mere information from vessels of clay, and he takes them and he teaches you, and he makes information revelation in your heart. And I don't know, I can't explain to you how it happened, but all I can tell you is that God, the Holy Spirit, took those words and it hit me. Wait a minute, if the God of the universe intimately loves me, if he loves me as much as he loves his son, I can't live a hopeless life. If he loves me, he can't leave me like this. And I don't know how to explain it to you, but to say chains just kept falling off. You can go through 1,000 years of counseling, and I believe in good counseling, and you will never get close to what it means when God, the Holy Spirit, sets you free. Amen. Change your whole life. Change your whole life. And this church changed my life. You know, Jesus said in Mark 16 that if you would believe, come to him. In fact, he told the church, you go tell this good news to everybody. And he that believes and is baptized will be saved. And he said, but he went on to say this, but the one who refuses to believe will be damned. That's pretty strong words, isn't it? But you don't have to be that way. You don't have to stay this way. You can come to church and have your life changed, not by a church, but by the glory of God within the church. And by the way, within and upon God's people. And Jesus said this, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. See, baptism doesn't make you a Christian. Today, we're going to baptize in this service about 90 people plus. And some of you that you didn't even know you were going to get baptized today, you're going to. You say, well, how's that going to happen? Stick around. Okay, but here's the deal. When you go into this tank, it's an outward evidence of an inward working. You literally are saying, I'm showing everybody that I've been immersed in Christ and raised in him. I've died with him and I've raised with him. Water baptism is when you publicly declare Jesus is the Lord of my life. It's when you step across that line. And I will never forget the baptismal services in the church. I mean, people lined up to get baptized. Kids, young kids, teenagers, 20-somethings. And I watched God. I remember the day I was baptized. It was so significant to me. I watched all my brothers get baptized. And then I watched my dad get baptized. I never thought my dad would come to Christ. I'm not putting him down. He was a good man. I mean, he was a strong moral person. But he was not happy about my mom and his Jesus stuff. Not at all. And he wasn't shy. He told you. But you know when my dad got water baptized, what happened? He went under that water. When he came up, he was baptized with the Holy Spirit and began to pray and worship God in that wonderful heavenly language. It's incredible. I mean, the power of God hit him. Can I tell you something? I heard a lot of language from my dad. That ain't the one I was ever thinking I'd hear. How'd that happen? Because going to a church like that changed my life. And today your life can be changed, absolutely changed, if you'll take steps to follow Jesus. And chains can fall off of your life, lifelong chains, generational chains. You don't have to stay this way. You say, well, I've been at this so long, you don't understand. My chains, man, they are just set in stone. Can I tell you something about God? He can break stones. Amen. He can break chains. And he can make you new. And he can take things that have bound you for a lifetime and make you brand new. I want to just simply pray before we go into the next part of the service that the God of all glory, that today, here's my heart, is that many years ago as I sat in that church when Jesus changed my life, that he told me something. And I realized that I would not be standing where I am today as a person, as a pastor. I never dreamed I could have the family I have. Never. I'm married to this wonderful woman. She's such a precious person. I have three great kids. You have to understand, I never thought these things could happen. Jesus will make you free to live your life and the life he intended you to live, not the one you're stuck with. So let me pray for you and let's trust God as you bow your heads with me that you leave today changed by the power of God because you came to a church with people full of the grace of God towards you. Father, I pray for every person here today as we take the next step in the service that their heart is open to you, that perhaps like those many years ago happened for me, they came to church and it changed their life. Father, like Bill Anzavino and that in Christian Assembly and that little mill town, you use them to literally launch people all over the world. You use that church to change the lives of so many. Lord, let this be a place where that happens for people. And I pray that it happens today. In Jesus' name, amen. Take a look at this.
Since I can remember, I went to church every week. I grew up in a Christian home. I had two loving parents. But then I realized I was really just going through the motions. I was letting other people define who I am and what my self-worth was. I was letting them tell me that I wasn't good enough, I wasn't pretty enough, not smart enough.
I couldn't shake the feelings of betrayal as I was going through my divorce. All the friends that I had, I tried to push away. I felt lost and I wanted to get my fill of whatever the world had in store for me, but it just wasn't enough.
I grew up in an abusive household. My mom left us when we were very young. I was looking for love, and it just wasn't working out. I was married and divorced several times, and the main reason that I survived was to raise my children. So when my children went off to college, I was alone, and I didn't know where to turn.
When I was about 13, I went on a youth retreat. And at that moment, something changed. I realized that God was more than just a character in the book, like the stories I was told when I was a kid.
God gave me a signal or a push to move to a different place and basically rebuild my life from scratch.
My son brought me to Christmas service here, and I knew then I was coming back and I was going to find what I had been searching for all along.
I realized that my self-worth wasn't found in other people or I wasn't living on the faith of my parents, but God wanted to have a real relationship with me and he gave me a true identity and a true purpose to live for him. And now I'm living in the blessing and the favor that God has for me.
Now that I made this move, I feel more connected to God. I can look at my past and I don't feel angry anymore. I have found God-oriented people that I can call my friends.
Once I turned my life over to Christ again and I rededicated my life changed around. I am so happy I found a purpose in my life. I found what God had planned for me all along, and I am happy and I am grateful and I'm honored, and I have found my family and I found my home.
I believe God has a big plan for me.
I found the love that I was searching for. And being part of this church and being part of this family has changed my life.
He loves me so much, and I know he has a plan for my life.
Would you bow your heads with me this morning? I want to make certain that every one of you today had the opportunity to bring everything you have to him, because he sure gave everything for us. I want to just pray and give you the opportunity to have this moment with God today, where you can do something absolutely incredible in your life. This week, We're talking about taking your next steps in following Jesus. Next week, we're going to talk to you about the other baptism and 3 weeks of understanding the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. But right now, the Holy Spirit Himself is touching your heart, and He wants to do a work in you like He did in me. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, I didn't ask you if you're a good person or went to church or was baptized as a child. Those are all wonderful things. Nothing's wrong with that. But none of that makes you right with God. The only thing that will make you right with God is to receive a Savior, willfully, knowingly inviting Christ into your heart. If you've never done that, I want to pray for you today. Then secondly, you may have already done that, and maybe you found yourself like me, maybe not as extreme in your choices and behavior, but you know you're not walking with God. You've given your life to Christ, but it's just such a distance. It's so distant to you. It's not real. You don't really walk with God, and you just kind of, you put on just that external thing, and you want to make a decision to walk with Him today. You want to know His presence. You want to know that cleansing that makes you brand new, that you leave this place clean, not because of your promises, not because of your love for God, but His promises and His love for you, and you choosing to respond to it. So if either one of those invitations apply to you, right now there's a pull on your heart. Don't push away, because everywhere He'd lead you is the place that love would lead you. And every step of obedience is a step into freedom and chains falling off of your life. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, on either one of those invitations, please include me in that prayer. Raise your hand right where you're at, real high where I can see it, and then I'm going to pray for you. So your hands are everywhere. You can put your hands back down. If you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud. And I'm going to pray over both issues together as we all pray it together with you. If you raised your hand, or you should have, either to give your life to Christ or to, as it were, come back home and just say, God, I just want to walk with you like I used to. I want to know you. And I feel so far from you. I feel like my sin has separated me from you. Pray this out loud, and we'll pray it together with you. Let's all pray it with those who may be praying this as they take their next step to walk in the freedom that Jesus died for. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me, for taking my place, bearing my sin and shame. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you in. I receive you, the Son of the living God, to be the Lord of my life. As you were buried and rose from the dead, today you raise me to life, and I will follow you. Thank you for your cleansing power, and that I leave this place with no sin stain because of my Savior. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? God bless you. What a great decision.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.